Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a technology presentation from April 2018. Ms. Sophie Bramall, independent journalist, presents Next Generation Cooling Technologies.
Good morning. Welcome to this Performance Day's panel discussion on innovative cooling technologies. This is the show's key topic, as you may know if you've been around since yesterday. And we've rounded up for this panel talk an eclectic group representing very different textile technologies with a testing firm who will tie it all in neatly, or so I hope. We will start this discussion with each member of the panel presenting themselves and their company. And some of you have PowerPoint presentations, so Pierluigi, do you want to start?
Yeah, one on the row. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Here we go. This is you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I'm Pierluigi Berardi. I'm the marketing director for Nilit. Nilit is an Israeli company producing nylon 6/6. We are the biggest in terms of volume nylon 6/6 producer fiber in the world. We have a plant in Israel, like I said before. We have a plant in North America, in Virginia, in the US, a plant in Brazil, and one in China. So we have a pretty global presence, and we use this as one of the major strengths. The other major strength, which is important to understand our product, is that we are fully integrated from polymer up to the fiber, which helps a lot us in really producing specialties by adding ingredients that makes our products, the properties our products, stable. They do not wash out. We don't lose properties after 20, 10, 5 washes. It's basically inherent into the polymer that helps really in keeping the overall product stable and performing until the last day of the product itself. So let me see.
Okay. Maybe we can get back to the cooling later on. No, yeah. On the side. Oh. Oops, wrong direction, this direction.
Okay, technology first. A few words about Breeze, then I think that we'll get some questions anyway from the moderator. Breeze is our flagship product in terms of cooling. It's the one that really attract the most of the attention, and it's pretty easy. As soon as you touch the t-shirt, you immediately understand what the product does. It's not only the cooling effect that it's offer, but as well a lot of flexibility in terms of technology usage, but as well flexibility in terms of really the way you can use it and the hand you can get UV protection, another important factor for this product, and obviously the hand and the feel, which makes you pretty unique, the characteristic of this product. Talking about the why we get the cooling effect, there are three different elements. The first one is the cross-section. As you can see in the picture, it's completely flat cross-section, which increases the amount of the surface in contact with the skin, which helps really a lot in taking the heat out of the skin. The second one, like I said before, the unique polymer formulation. It contains inorganic microparticles, which helps a lot in increasing the cooling effect. And on top of it, thanks to this product, we are able as well to create microchannels within the fiber. And the third one is a patented, is an IP element for Nilit, is the way we texturize this yarn, which is not only giving the soft hand, but really create an extra ventilation on the fabric because of the old spaces that we leave across the fabric. But on top of it, helps a lot in terms of moving the moisture away from the skin to the outside of the fabric. Without entering too many particular, we speak later, but I want to tell you how we did make sure that this product is performing. We ran tests at Sentex Bell using a sweating mannequin. We did understand that the product itself can perform 1.1 degrees better than the control. Not happy. We have went to Japan and we made the Qmax test. Everything above 0.1 is considered to be a good product. We reach 0.25. Let me see. Yeah. Oops. No. Sorry. Yeah. Oh. I'm messing up everything.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah. Please. Yeah. And then the third test we wanted to really to make is not only quantitative test, but a more qualitative test. The next one, please. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. It's we did work a wear test. And in the wear test, we got 79% of the people were saying that they prefer the Breeze t-shirt versus the control. We ran in a laboratory, put people on a bicycle. And even here, we measured the skin temperature. Again, the 1.1 degrees difference. And like I said before, one slide. UV protection, UPF 50 plus, that is an important factor. It's not only our product, but our product really helps a lot in achieving it, but it's as well the fabric construction. You can easily get a 50 plus certification. That is becoming more and more important because of the sun is becoming aggressive and the awareness of this type of problem is really raising not only in a certain hemisphere like in Australia, but as well in Europe, North America, and so on. Yeah. So it's a product that really overall is a product for the outdoor type of activities.
Okay, thank you. Since you talked about testing, maybe Christoph Rüss can present his company and, or do you want, can we go back on those, the three different tests later and you can tell us what you think about them that Nilit has done? But present Inside Climate, first of all.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning. My name is Christoph Rüss. I'm the managing director of Inside Climate. Inside Climate is a test house, test center, specialized in the microclimate comfort area. So everything that has to do with human thermoregulation inside clothing, inside textiles. So the human textile interface, if you will, that's our focus. And we test, we measure the climate, the human heat and humidity development in all kinds of environments, whether this is a car seat environment or apparel environment, sportswear, workwear, head protection, footwear, everything, in order to define our so-called sweater climate assessment, which is a prognosis, indication for comfort, human comfort. So it's not so much a material testing, it is more goes into the comfort direction. And the important thing is we look at thermoregulation as our own means to cool. This whole event here is about cooling. So the human way to cool, we all know that is sweating. So sweating is what we actually measure. We measure the sweat production inside clothing over time, either with occupants, so in real tests in climate chambers or out in the field. Or we do that with our sweater technology, which is a dummy solution built as a torso or a head or a foot, which allows to, well, sweat quantitatively reproducible, so it provides heat and humidity in all kinds of environments as well. And the focus is the ready-made product, so we would like to see a shirt or a shirt-jacket combination or even a base layer shirt-jacket coat combination to perform in a certain way in with work, with labor, in increasing labor of the human being, with pause situations. How does this all interact? How does the humidity build up? How does this reflect on the evaporative capacity that we all need in order to really effectively cool? That's our world. We both do that, so we do tests for our customers. We also sell the technology. So our customers, especially in the bedding industry, for instance, use our torso model to test mattresses, to test duvets, comforters, to test all that equipment in-house in their R&D, and come back to us once or twice a year maybe, or biannually, in order to say, Inside Climate, could you tell us, is it right what we're doing in our R&D? Could you be the neutral instance to prove this is correct, this is the right way we're going, and that's what we're doing, so we're kind of certifying it. We're following standards that are out there. So that would be the ISO 11092, I think it is, which is RCT, RET, CLOVALUE, all these factors which we could find out with our sweater quantitative methods. But as well, as I said before, we are more focusing on the real climate measurements. So we're interested in how does the real humidity, so the wet heat transfer, how does that look like? That's interesting to us because that is really happening. The dry one is happening as well, but that's more the theory. We're going more into the practical aspect.
Thank you, Christoph. Let's move on to Trine from Osmotex, who has a really very new technology. Do you want the clicker?
Yeah, so I'm from Osmotex, and our inventors invented the technology which we call Hydrobot. We are from Zurich in Switzerland, and we are a R&D company and a technology supplier. We have blue chip industry partners like Schuss and Scholler, and Hydrobot plans to launch this fall with the selected ski wear products from Schuss. Our product is a panel or a piece of material consisting of three layers. It's a membrane surrounded by conductive textile. It's electronically controlled, so you apply only 0.5 volt for it to be turned on. In the lab, we've transported 200 liters of moisture per hour per square meter.
200 liters?
200. This was with higher volt, and of course not... It just explains how much sweat we can actually manage to transport. And also, it's climate independent and humidity independent. How does it work? The membrane is consisting of billions of pores, and the upper picture is a picture of one pore. So what happens is when a pore is filled with water, the negative charges in the pore wall, the positive charges in the pore gets fluid connected to them, and they again connect to the negative charges, which moves then the fluid out of the panel. This is an example of how the panel can be integrated into a jacket.
You brought a swatch too.
Yes.
You did too.
This is how it looks like. So the blue is the panel. Thank you. This is a four-layer panel. So it has. This is an outer layer that we glued out on top of the three-layer panel. And on the inside, we can see the gray here is the conductive textile. And in the middle, there is the membrane that we use. And it's electronically controlled. So it's connected here with... this is only a demo jacket, so it doesn't really work. But here is the electric cords. And in here, you have the battery, a PCB connector, and a button, which you can turn on and off for the system to work. Thank you.
You'll have to move forward to get to your Rin, to get to your presentation. It's after the Nilit. So, Inutech.
Yes, I'm Rein Boxla from Inutech from the Netherlands. I'm a co-owner. We are with three owners, and we are 100% focused on personal cooling. So we produce and supply mostly cooling vests. Caps, wrist wrap, and neck bands. And we have different technologies for different circumstances. Our main markets are industry, sports, medical a little bit, military, and animals. We produce also dog vests, for example, and dog pads. And we start also for horses. Our production... our cool packs we produce in the Netherlands, and all of the facilities are in China and Taiwan. Why personal cooling? I think most people here know why. But a lot of people don't know. We see every day people in sport and industry that they don't know the disadvantages of heat stress. So it starts already by 25 degrees Celsius, then your performance is decreasing 3%. Hmm. And you can see the other things, the other figures. Personal cooling is to avoid heat stress, for better comfort, to work longer. And in top sports, we started actually because most top sports are looking for this kind of solutions.
Yeah.
We have different technologies, but I thought the first is the dry. We name it dry because it's evaporation cooling, but you fill water into the product with a valve, and evaporation gives the cooling effect. The H2O is products that you soak in water, so totally soak in water and squeeze out, and evaporation gives the cooling effect. PVA is we make a towel with, and we made a cycling vest. They used it in the World Cup in Qatar by Sky Team, and they like it very much. So we continue with that together with BioRacer. It's a company in Belgium who produce also clothing. And Inutech Pack is what we produce in the Netherlands. That's PCM, phase change material. Mm-hmm. We have different temperatures for that, 6.5, 15, 21, and 29. That means on these temperatures is the melting point. And all the time that is freezing the pack, it gives that temperature what I meant. These are not all, but a few partners we have. We do mostly 60 to 70% private label projects. Hmm. These are some top athletes what we supply to. So in cycling, Formula One, motocross, motor race, also national soccer teams. Mostly they use it for pre and post cooling. So for and after the race. And we are looking for during the race. In some sports, they can already use it during the sport, like mountain biking, for example. And we are looking now also for road cycling. Some figures. Most important is if your skin temperature goes down, your heartbeat goes also down. So we did a test with military people in Mali, and they use all day our vest and one day without, and they say at the end of the day they are feeling better, so they are recovering better for the next day. But you're used to also to it. So just like when you jump in the pool, first you feel cool and then you're used to it after 10 minutes. Mm. This is the figures about the skin temperature, so with and without cooling vest. So this is actually the most important part for us. And this is a quite funny picture that you can see that you can perform better on a longer time with cooling vest. That's in a very short way my presentation.
Thank you.
And I have some samples if you want to see later.
Here, I'll take the clicker. All right, so so as I said, we have some very, very different technologies. Let's start with maybe the more classic one, which is the fiber technology. How is the Sensil Breeze developed and what's your experience with what's your experience with this cooling fiber? What markets does it work best for, and are there any new developments, new uses, or use cases?
Yeah, I mean, our business is mainly into the apparel segment. Even there are some applications in the workwear, but very limited for Breeze. We are at the very beginning of the story. In the apparel, when we talk about apparel, the major applications. At the beginning were sportswear, athleisure wear. So just to give an example, a couple of...
Are these samples that we
yeah,
can
absolutely,
show?
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe
a couple of brands started to use Breeze inside of the leggings. So basically having more or less 60% of standard nylon outside and 40% Breeze inside, really because of the beneficial properties of
so you put
of
Sensil on the Breeze
directly on the skin.
On the skin.
The latest application, because of the hand, you can see well, you touch the shirt, are definitely intimate apparel. And the real latest one is denim. I mean, you know, denim is a construction for the technical people. It's a 2-to-1, 3-to-1. So you use it in the weft. Basically, the majority of the breeze is directly on the skin. Because what you see in a denim is normally the warp. When you put in a weft, it's directly on the skin. And in denim, we have a couple of projects which will become really to life in the next spring, summer season. Okay. And that's basically the latest application. Again, athleisure, activewear are probably the most common, but intimate apparel and denim are the are the ones that will emerge.
Thank you. Trina, I wanted to ask you, for what kind of end uses is Hydrobot most suited? So you're launching it in ski wear. And I'm sure, I mean, we sweat all the time, so that's not the problem. But are there some, you know, what are the highest potential markets you think for Hydrobot?
We're starting at apparel and ski wear, as you said. But the more you sweat, the more you will feel that Hydrobot works. So we're looking at all kind of cardio exercises, so cycling, running, long lauf, cross-country skiing, riding, sailing. And also, we've of course also thought about workwear. And this is a technology of micropump, so it can also be used in non-apparel, which is... So there's a lot of applications, but we are looking at sports and cardio sports mostly.
All right. And Reen, of all the different technologies that you develop, so, I mean, the ones that are used before and after sport, I guess, are a different kind of market context. In active applications, which are the materials that, you know, for the guy, the person who's going to be running, cycling, or et cetera, trail running, what technologies are most suited to sports athletic applications?
For post-cooling, this I can show you, this is one of our packs, the PCM. So this is now already activated. It's mostly
should we show it to the
You can give it to them. So it's now a fixed temperature.
So
of
this
21.
Has been frozen.
Yes, you can, if you compare to water freezes by 0 degrees and melting above 0 degrees, and this is melting above 21. So that's why he is now cold enough to that he is activated. The lower the temperature, so I have here 6.5. This one is already melting because this is melted above 6.5. This is what we mostly supply to top sporters, what they use in their vest. For example, this is a cycling vest from a Lotto Jumbo team, from the Netherlands for sure. And we put the packs here inside, so they have in this vest 5 pieces of these packs, and they use it so 20 minutes before the start for the warming up. So they want to warm up the body, but not to sweat too much.
Right, that's okay. So that's the warming up phase? Okay.
And for doing the sport, the best option until now is the evaporation cooling, because this is too heavy to use during sport. Some motocrossers use this pack during the race. So it's possible.
Maybe for the downhill? For the downhill or things like that? Downhills?
Yeah. Thank you for that. Maybe it's a good option.
All right. So, Christophe, I also have a question for you. Of the different scenarios or cases that a brand should consider when looking to validate the cooling properties or thermoregulating effect, in what case is the sweating mannequin the best option? And in what case are field tests the best option?
Well, very good question. The field test is always a human being, because you're out in the field and you have your ready-made garment, whatever you want to test. And you see the real reaction of the human, that's what your focus is. And coming from the comfort perspective in the thermoregulation, we look at the evaporation or the sweating, when does it start? Because we know that human beings only start to perspire or to increase perspiration, so from the so-called insensible sweating, which is happening by physics. It's, we just dry out. That happens all the time. But the increase, the really active Homo eotherm methodology to sweat is only happening once the radiation, the conduction, the convection, which is also happening, is not sufficient anymore to keep the 37 degrees stable. So it's more the inside temperature. Comfort always happens inside the body, never outside the body. And
so how much impact does a textile have on core temperature?
Well, a lot. And it depends on the actual methodology that you're looking for. So the evaporation is the strongest cooling method. It's our natural cooling method. So keeping that, when you're a garment producer, keeping that as effective as possible, that is what you should aim at. There's no one solution. There's many solutions, of course, whether you're a car seat producer, sportswear producer, hospital mattress producer. There are so many different things, so there's not one answer.
But for athletic uses, would the
For athletic uses, we had, well, what we just had is the idea to increase conductive heat, at least for a while, to support by cooling aids, for instance, PCM blocks, which aid the body to get the cooling out, or the heat out. And that helps not, or what the body does is that it appreciates that cooling by, or that heat release, by using the conduction, and it's not going to sweat in that time. Sweat also produces energy or implies energy production, which is stopping when you can do it conductively. So that can help a sports athlete to cool the muscles, to cool down as such, to heat up without sweating, which would be extra energy that he would use, so to increase performance overall. So that's all things that we would have to discuss prior to do any decision on how to test.
All right. I had a question also for Trina at Osmotex. In what form is... there are actually two questions. One that I didn't think of beforehand is when we're mixing moisture and electricity, what is the risk factor there, and how do you protect your device? And then... how is it sold? Are the membrane, not membrane? What? Yeah.
The risk factor for the user, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not dangerous. I mean, we've been...
it's a very low voltage?
Very low voltage. It's 0.5 volt. Yeah. In terms of protecting the electricity itself, I mean, when you wash it, you just have to remove the battery.
Okay, so it's washable.
Yes, it's washable.
So what if I'm a brand? Do you sell panel by panel, meter by meter? The batteries, not batteries?
So today we're selling the full package. It includes a panel, which is three layers of functional panel. A five layer has an inner and outer layer, which brands typically would have a say themselves. And we have the full electronics. I can show you how it looks. It consists of a battery, a PCB, and a button. Thank you. Sorry. basically, it's sold, so you can put it into your jacket yourself. We supply, of course, instructions for that, or we have a lot of expertise in integrating. So we sell panel by panel with everything. Yeah. Our experience is that different brands want different, for example, energy consumption or different buttons, and of course we can personalize the components.
Does it add much weight to the final garment?
It's quite heavy. It weighs 680 grams per square meter. But keep in mind that it's a panel and it's usually not more than 0.5 square meter.
Are you imagining just to put it on the back, or could...
generally, you can put it anywhere.
Smaller panels be put places?
That can also be done. We put it on the back in this jacket because, as we all know, most people sweat mostly on the back.
I guess for the backpack wearers.
That's a problem with the backpack. For today's version, it's a problem with the backpack,
I have a question for Pierluigi, because we're talking about convection. So a lot of the cooling technologies that I've seen in textiles will have a cool touch, which impacts the way the mind feels. Yeah, and that, so that, and also when you're going to buy it, obviously, yeah, it's important. But then what we're talking about is optimizing evaporative cooling, right, to keep the body cool. How does all that work with your product?
Yeah, for very intensive, perspiration activities, we have a different product, which is Aquarius, which uses a specific cross-section. And again, going back to the polymerization of our product, we have added an hydrophilic ingredient, which dramatically increased the capability of absorbing humidity. I mean, you can imagine a synthetic filament is not absorbing that much, but thanks to this ingredient, we have been able to position ourselves better in certain parameters than cotton, or better than certain parameters than polyester with a special cross section, which are the today products which are on the market. So, in terms of evaporation, in terms of absorption, in terms of wicking, which are, I'm not a total expert, maybe you can confirm about that, but which are the three elements that contribute in really providing the sense of cooling and really taking the body temperature down. According to our test, which anyway has been made outside, we always position Aquarius in the top of the position of the all the three of these tests. So, Breeze is more for a moderate type of activity. Like I said before, it's finding a new field in intimate apparel because of the hand, or in denim, or at leisure. Mm. If we go in intense sport activity, then definitely Aquarius is the right one.
Thank you. I have another question for Reen, because you mentioned PVA. Can you go into the details of what that material is and how it works, how it cools the body?
PVA is polyvinyl alcohol, and that means that it's quick. It's also cooling by evaporation, but it goes quicker. So that gives a cooler effect.
But is it in a textile, or is it a finish, or is it in a
it's
pack?
It's finished product, yeah. We can supply a panel in a shirt, for example. So not the whole shirt, because when it dry, it's very stiff. It's like feels like cotton. So you have to activate again in water. For example, this is our H2O. So it is always, when it is dry or activated, it's always flexible. So. Hmm.
And the first product, the dry, so you say there's water in that system. I think we'd like to see it and see how it works.
Yeah, this one we produce for Alpine Stars.
Alpine Stars, okay.
Yeah. And, we have to turn around. So here on the back, we have here the valve. So first you put here water inside, a half a liter.
Half a liter?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you spread out over the vest the water, then you open the valve again and you squeeze out the exceeds water. And then you can use it. Now, it's not necessary to close the valve because the water doesn't come out. And we can also make all panels what you want, actually. So for example, we work also with a shoe and with a glove to make a small panel, not with a big valve, but with a very, and with other opening. So this technology we can make in many different sizes,
okay.
But this is a vest. So
yeah.
And the holes are necessary to keep the fabric on the place, because we weld high frequency. This welding is not to the fabric.
Okay, all right. I have another question for Christoph. So we're talking about comfort and wear comfort. What has the most impact on how a person feels? Is it the heat or the moisture?
Well, both, in fact. So when it's cold outside, it's the heat. So we need to warm ourselves. But that in the market is easy. You go into a store and buy a jacket, to put it simple, right? So it's very easy to warm a body or to get extra heat inside. It is not easy when it's outside hot and you need
heat
to cool.
Is complicated.
That's
right.
Difficult because you cannot undress just like that. That's not possible. So you need to do other things. And the evaporation, as we had before, is the most effective way to cool. And the nice thing about this is it's based on the thermoregulation, and we all, every human being, shares the exact same process of thermoregulation. So we do it the same way. We share that. That's a natural standard, if you will. Of course, it's individually different done, so some sweat earlier, some less, some need more heat than the others. That's true. But once the humidity comes into play, it is a signal of the body, I'm too warm, I need to cool. Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. We only sweat or increase sweat when we need to cool. So this need to cool is the important thing to satisfy. And that's the, of course, exercise that you might have in order to really use that or keep that evaporative capacity or evaporation process effective is the humidity, to look at the humidity. And this is not relative humidity. This is absolute humidity that you should look at, because you're looking in several climate zones here. From the body outwards, you have several layers, probably. So there's different temperatures which have different relative humidity levels. You cannot optimize a humidity based on relative numbers, because then you will become relatively good, but you want to become absolutely good. So you need an absolute humidity which allows you to really draw conclusions. Is the absolute humidity going upwards? It must be the sweating, so it must be the demand to cool. So that's what we're looking at. Does that
Thank
make
you.
Sense?
Thank you very much. Let's open questions to our audience. Is Raphael around? Do we have an extra microphone or not?
Yes.
Okay. So do we have any questions for our panel speakers?
Hello. I have one question, actually. In order to be as cool as possible, actually, when you're hot, you're going in a swimming pool and you're getting wet, and you go out of the swimming pool, you are totally wet. If there is wind, you even can get cold. So based on this, should you be the most humid possible or the driest you can in order to feel cooler?
To me, the question.
Who would like to answer?
Sorry.
Well, I could answer that question, maybe. So that's a very good question, and it is not the ambient temperature that you're really looking at. It is the temperature on your skin level, which may be ambient when you go out of the swimming pool. Then it's basically very similar, because it's next to the ambient, the skin. But as soon as you have a t-shirt or any layer on, it needs to be as dry as possible. So in order to keep it as dry as possible, your evaporation is as effective as possible. And at the skin level is where we perceive everything. And as I said, not the ambient condition is triggering your comfort, it's the inside. So the 37 degrees that we all share, going up, that triggers, or going down, either way, triggers your process. Either you get goosebumps or you start to perspire. That is what it does. And the question is, or the art is, to keep the skin near area as dry as possible. So not dry like in a desert, that's impossible, but dry meaning, let's say, below 50%. That's a good rule of thumb.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Well, I guess that wraps it up. Thank you very much for participating, and thank you all for having come to listen to this presentation.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to www.performancedays.com. Copyright April 2018 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.